Hey, everybody. I hate starting a show like this. We do this far too often, but we have to start the show off on a sad note. Of course, everybody knows there were two deaths recently. Jose Fernandez and Arnold Palmer both passed away over this past weekend. Arnold Palmer being an absolute legend in the sports field, and Fernandez coming up just 24 years old, passing away in a boating accident. Both absolutely tragedies. It's hard to think of the right words to say, but I don't know if there are even right words to say. But we wanted to start this show off with a 10 seconds of silence to show our respects for both of these guys. And we want to do that as well. I don't know what you guys do out there. If you want to say a prayer, just have a moment of reflection, send out good thoughts to their families, whatever you believe in. We're going to give you 10 seconds of silence here in remembrance of these two guys that passed away over the weekend. Absolute tragedies. I mean, 24 years old to pass away that young. Just, I can't even imagine that. So your guys are going to get 10 seconds of silence, and then we'll get on with the show. But just everyone out there in the Palmer family and the Fernandez family, we want to send our deepest condolences to you and let you know that we are thinking of you during this this hard time.
Said nevermore.
You're listening to the Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation. What is going on? Welcome to the Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Hope you guys are okay. Hope you're back from Heart Attack City, pretty much. Hope you guys have all your tums all chewed up. These Ravens, they like to make sure we're on our toes here in Baltimore. Josh, how are you feeling, man? Because at the end of this game, you and I watched the game at Jimmy's this week. At the end of this game, you were crouched down underneath a table. You couldn't even see it.
I can't do this anymore, man. I mean, and I say that wholehearted lately there, but Heart Attack Edition, the Call here on this episode, bro. It's like deja vu, man. They love doing it. And I've always said this. It winning ugly, it's still happening. If we're going to lose, I'd rather get blown out. Speaking of blowouts, Steelers. That was awesome.
The funniest part of that was the fact that they got bumped from national coverage.
Yeah, that was even better. So it just shows you how embarrassing that is. So we'll cover that later in the show. But Heart Attack City, bro, anything you want to call it. This team's just resilient, man. They overcome all odds. You know, we were watching it, and I'm like, okay, they blocked the field goal again. What is it with this team of blocking kicks, man?
This team seems to be like, this game showed how uneven this team is, and just from the special teams part of it, because number one, the game was kind of saved from a special teamer, but at the same time, it was kind of, you know, the momentum was killed a little bit by a special teamer.
Uneven, I would say dangerous, because you don't know where plays are going to come from, dude. I mean, you think your opposing team going to line up for a field goal, as you know, it's blocked, or something crazy could happen. So I mean, don't put it past us. I mean, in the Super Bowl, we did a fake field goal and almost got a first down out of it. So don't put it past us to try anything, anytime, anywhere. But this team is resilient. They're making plays. Can't say it time and time again. I mean, how was it? It almost reminded me of, like, the turnover version of, like, the Ravens-Vikings. Didn't that remind you of that? Like, instead of trading touchdowns, it was trading turnovers. It was like, oh, no, let's win the game. Oh, no, no, you guys win the game. Oh, no, no, you guys win. And it was like, oh, no, we'll do it. It's just kind of like, oh, my God, five turnovers total between the two teams in the fourth quarter alone, dude. Nuts.
And here's the thing, though. Joe Flacco, was he tied an NFL record. What was it, 21 completions?
I should have had 22. Mike Wallace said he owes him a dinner. Oh, my goodness. And that would have been the icing on the cake. That would have been another Mike Wallace touchdown. Joe Flacco and Mike Wallace accounted for all the Ravens touchdowns, by the way, which is odd. And we'll cover that later as well. We have a lot to get to here on the Red Eye Review. But, dude, a lot happened in this game. Apart from the drama at the end, 21 straight completions. How awesome is that, man? How awesome.
That shows you that I think Joe and the wide receivers and the tight ends, all those guys are working a little bit better than they were last week. But here's another example of how uneven this team is. Joe goes for 21 completions, and then he gets intercepted twice. I don't know what it is, but it seems as if, especially on the offensive side of the ball, like you said, this team is very uneven. I don't know how the Ravens can fix that problem, but this was definitely evident of the unevenness on offense.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because everybody's been, and even the national media's been on this and asking Harbaugh, like, are you concerned that you're 3-0 and winning like this? But here's the thing, and Harbaugh brought up a good point to what Bill Parcells always said back in his heyday. Bill Parcells was quoted with saying, you are what your record says you are. I don't know if you've heard that before, or anybody else out there has, I'm sure. And I had the privilege to meet Bill Parcells. He's an awesome guy. And that's true. You know, we are 3-0. We're one of the five teams left at 3-0. We're 3-0. We're not 0-3 like the Jaguars. We're not 0-3 like the Browns. We are 3-0. So, yeah, we're winning bad. We're winning ugly. We're winning these heart attack games, but the problem is we're winning. Suggs said in the press conference, they're AFC wins. They hold a lot of weight. We're 1-0 division. We're 3-0 in the AFC. So if there comes a tiebreaker or a playoff spot on the line, we have three AFC wins already. So if you're going to put us at a 10 or 11 win season already, we're three wins to that mark. So we finished September undefeated. Now we're going in October. Here we go. We got four games in October. Let's say we split those and go 2-2. Then we're 5-2. Even if you win 3 out of 4, then you're 3. That's 3. It's 6-1. So there could be a lot of sayings. There could be a lot of hearsay going down the road here, man. But sitting atop a division at 3-0, no, I thought we would be. We could easily be 1-2. Or I mean, but you look at it this way. My point is here is last year we had a lot of woulda, coulda, shoulda. Oh, if we'd have made one play, we lost all those games by 8 points or less. We were 5-11. We could have easily been 8-8 or in the playoff hunt, but we weren't. This is a total opposite of what last year was like. Remember, we were 0-3 and had to wait to week 4 on a Thursday night football game to beat the Steelers on the road. Now we're 3-0 coming home for two games. And it just shows you the night and day difference of adding a few pieces here and there, drafting a few pieces, putting it back together and saying, guys, it's going to be okay. I'm not worried. Yeah, I'm worried a little bit. You know, Sharice Wright got picked on. You know, he's the weak spot. There are some weak spots. The running game's a glaring weak spot. But the problem is we're making enough plays with things not going right in certain areas where it's a total team effort, man. Tucker's got to make his kicks. And Suggs even said it. You know, you don't want to come it down to a special teams block. Like, oh, we got to hope for a field goal block because – the odds of that are minimum at best, but it happens, and it's happened 2 weeks in a row to spark a big, huge play and an amazing comeback. So, man, there's a lot going on with this team. You're right. There's a lot going on, but if it equals a winning effort, dude, I don't know if you remember this in algebra in college, but it's like, oh, this stuff jumbled on the blackboard and all that. It's, hey, as long as the final answer was right, I don't care how they get there. Just get there as a win, man.
Yeah, you know, that's what we always bring up Vin Diesel from the Fast and Furious. You know,
that's my favorite quote.
Yeah, you know, winning, it doesn't matter whether you won by an inch or a mile. Winning is winning, and that's very true. We are a 3-0 team right now, and there's a lot of There's definitely a lot of people online. I don't know if you saw this, but I shared a picture from NBC Sports of Joe Flacco, and it says, Ravens, you are 3-0. There's a lot of hatred out there for the Ravens because they're saying, oh, you guys, you know, you beat teams that don't have a winning record. It doesn't really show what you can do. But, like, go ahead.
Here's the flip side of it, though. Not to interrupt you, Brandon, but I just want to interject this point. But here's what the double-edged, the kind of double standard of the media. If the Steelers are 3-0 and they beat scrub teams, they wouldn't be saying that, would they? They'd be, oh, the Steelers are high and mighty. No, they're beating the teams they're supposed to beat. No. Hey, we have a record better than the Steelers, so I don't give a crap right now. Steelers got embarrassed by the Philadelphia Eagles. We're winning. We haven't lost a game in a preseason. We haven't lost a game in a regular season. So from my concern, we're way better than those teams right now.
Yeah, I think
I mean, it is what it is. On paper, we're way better right now.
I think the Ravens are a dangerous team in the NFL, and I'm not just saying that because I'm a Ravens fan. I think it's due to the fact that these guys know how to win under, you know, under crappy conditions. You know, there's a lot of teams that let games get away from them, like the Steelers did this past Sunday. I think that they underestimated this rookie quarterback that's in Philadelphia, and we saw that. The Ravens are coming out there. They're not really underestimating anyone. They're making a lot of mistakes, but they're coming together. And let's face it here, like we said, there's a lot of problems with special teams. There's a lot of problems with offense. But this defense, man, this Ravens defense, they look amazing. They're keeping the Ravens alive in these games.
They are, man. And it just shows you the body work. Because my concern on Sunday was there's no pass rush. And then all of a sudden, Jernigan and Suggs, and they showed the graphic during the game. I don't know if you saw that. They were like, Jernigan and Suggs were combined zero sacks against these two linemen. And all of a sudden, they break out. Suggs has two in the fourth quarter, and Jernigan had a back-to-back huge sacks on that drive. So, I mean, it's just – I don't even care. And I even tweeted this. I said, save the powder puff stats for the fantasy sheet because that's where the stats are counted. We don't win by style points. I'd rather win ugly because it's fun for me. I mean, you might think it's like, oh, it sucks, but – I don't know. I wouldn't want a 50-point win. I mean, because it's like, oh, it's like why it's like Alabama playing a scrub team. It's college football. It's like, oh, you show up and by halftime we're up 42-7. That's boring. Like I mean, I hate to say it. I mean, a lot of people would disagree with me. I'm sure. But no, I'd rather win easily. But I'd rather win like this because it's fun. This is entertainment, man. These guys, this is what they do. They're entertainers for 60 minutes on the football field every Sunday, entertain us. But it's toward their common goal. It's their job. So they're trying to win a championship. But the way they do it is just fun. I mean, you look at the Vikings game in history. You look at the comeback against Arizona. You look at the comeback against Seattle in 2003. You look at the comeback against the Titans on the road that one time. You look at the back-and-forth playoff game. Again, the Mile High Miracle game is an example. Like, that was an edge-of-your-seat thriller. The Vikings game we were at, this game the Justin Tucker kick on Monday Night Football to win at 61-yarder. I mean, I was there for that. I mean, you think of all these moments, comeback wins in Pittsburgh, the touchdown to Houston Zada, the touchdown to Torrey Smith. The Ravens thrive on this, and it creates stories and it creates memories because you remember those. You don't remember the Ravens blowing out and having four shutouts in the Super Bowl year. I mean, it's a good stat, but you don't remember when they beat the Cowboys senseless that year or – you don't remember when we beat the Raiders. I mean, we were there that one year, but we're not talking about the Raiders win 55-10 that one day. What or weren't we? We're not. We're talking about these close wins that, oh my God, you see that play? It won us the game. That's what this team thrives on, and it goes hand in hand. Adversity and exciting wins. This team's exciting to watch, man. I love it.
This team's exciting to watch. Really exciting, though, is these after-game press conferences as well. I don't know if you caught Joe's, but I found it very interesting. Joe said, these are the type of games that we have to play in January. Didn't say December. Yep. He said January. So with these wins, the Ravens are already looking ahead, and in their eyes, they're already making the playoffs. And what he's saying is true. These type of games, you brought up the Mile High Miracle. These are the type of games that go a full 60 minutes where you make mistakes, you make up for them. This is January football in September. I feel as if the whole year is going to be like this for the Ravens, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, not at all. I mean, people can get that and take that the way they want. They're like, no, you know, I want it the other way. No, I love it. And And Flacco is right. You want to be playing in January. We're setting ourselves up for that. I just really love how this team responds to the criticism. They don't really. I mean, you know, people out there are the worst 3-0 team. I can care less, man. What if we win next week and we're 4-0, or we beat the Redskins and we're 5-0? I mean, you don't want to look ahead, but what if it happens and they keep winning and they're in mid. You know, I get to go on a road trip. What if we're on a road trip and we're headed up to the New York Giants game and we're still undefeated? Who knows what might happen? Or what if we lose two home games in a row and everybody's like, oh, no, here they come. Here's the real team. You really don't know. And Harbaugh said you really got to take it week to week. You know, it's – yeah, this game's in the books, but you look at it as we're 0-0 and we're playing the Raiders coming up. So you can't really take anything for granted. The Jacksonville Jaguars are a dangerous team. Allen Robinson caught 2 touchdowns. They were dangerous, and they were 1 or 2 plays away from winning the game. So were we. You know, Mike Wallace, we know, dropped the touchdown right there. Hands. That was the 22nd completion. But you have to give credit, man. Everybody knocks our receiving quarter, but 21 straight completions, that's a team effort. That's the line blocking. That's Flacco, you know, making his reads. And everybody says, well, yeah, he had 21 straight, with safe. Well, Patriots did it. Brady does it all the time. You don't need big plays to get completions. A completion's a completion. But breaking that down, I just love the emotion, the tenacity that we have. And of course, I'm not going to touch on it because I think it's fun, but the whole Steve Smith and Jalen Ramsey banter, man, Steve Smith's just a fiery guy. He had a great game, man. He had a really great game in coming out. I think this was his best game so far, obviously growing every week, getting back in the swing of things. But me and my dad were talking today, and this team, they can only get better, Brandon, man. It's this team's going to get better. You know, they're gelling, like you said. They haven't had enough playing time. They're winning games kind of like – this is kind of like the preseason. They're winning ugly, but they're figuring out. So if they get it and they stay healthy, which, knock on some wood around here, 3-0, man. They've been healthy. Pitta hasn't been hurt. Flacco is a little scared, and I think they were calling that, like we talked about on Sunday, the game together, calling that draw play on purpose and getting Flacco to roll out to get him running. I mean, he ran for the touchdown. It was great. But on that touchdown, I could see he was hesitant. So there's going to be a lot of that still growing, and we call it growing pains, but I think it's still going to do well for us come down the stretch.
Yeah, I definitely think that these guys, like you said, we saw it on Sunday. You and I were talking about it on Sunday. I think that the coaching staff sees that Joe is a little bit scared about running out of the pocket. So I think they made those two plays on purpose. It wasn't just Joe didn't see anything and he ran himself. I think that was the whole plan, was that Joe was to run in and get that touchdown run and get that first down, because they want him out of the pocket. They want him to realize he can use his legs again. It'll be okay. I mean, if Dennis Pitta can get through 2 hip surgeries, I think Joe can get through this this knee pain and everything. So I think that was on purpose. But all right, I'm gonna play devil's advocate here a little bit. 21 completions, I love it. I think that is awesome. Joe looked great. However, are they throwing the ball? Because like you said, the running game is non-existent. Where is this running game? What are they doing here? Because Forsett, Terrence West, we were all very excited about that in the preseason. We were all very upset that Justin Forsett got released, when they had to cut down to 53-man roster. What's going on there? Because these guys seem to be a great duo. Terrence West was impressing everybody in preseason. Now it's game time. They're not doing anything.
No, and that's what's concerning to me too, man. Because and you don't want to discount Dennis was running crazy until I heard it. Hopefully, comes back here in a couple weeks, maybe 3 weeks here. But you're right. Preseason, I'm like, dude, Terrence West, you're right, was on fire. You know, had the first touchdown of preseason. He actually had 2. You had basically Forsett coming back in the mix. You had Kenneth Dixon until he got hurt. And then now it's non-existent. And I even told you on Sunday watching the game, and the reason why all these turnovers happen is the Ravens because the run is non-existent, they got to throw a lot more. And you can't have Flacco throw. I don't know. I had to go back on the box score here to see how many times he threw. But you can't have that happen no more, man. I mean, it's just something that just we don't want to see. And I actually got it right here. Flacco was 29 of 40. So he threw the ball 40 times. Terrence West had 10 attempts at rushing. So, I'm not going to go and really bore us and get down to the breakdown. I may even tweet it later on about
you know, how many running plays versus passing plays were called. But when Flacco's on the ball 40 times, that's not too much. I mean, when you get near 53, 55, that's a lot. You usually average about 70 or so plays during a live game, depending. I don't like the fact that it puts a lot of pressure on us, especially because that leads to turnovers. It leads to teams being, you know, guessing it right because it's one-dimensional. Oh, we're shutting down a run. That's what we usually do. We shut down a run to the opposing team, so they got to pass, and then we go ahead and pick everything off. They're doing the same thing to us. So, to me, the running game needs to be going, man, because at some point it's going to hurt us. And you know I was upset about it, but I want to break this down to you and see what your thoughts are, man, is the play action when the running game's not working, that needs to be omitted. Whoever's calling the plays, I think it's Trestman. I don't know if he has full reins on that or who does on the coaching staff, but by God, it needs to stop because it doesn't work. It works when you have a 150-yard rusher on the day and he's running ransacked up and down the defense. They got to keep themselves honest. But when Terrence West is only touching the ball 10 times, play action's not going to work. That's silly. And it just, to me, the play calling is still suspect at best sometimes, but I mean, it is what it is, but that to me, that can't happen. That just can't.
Trestman, I don't know about Trestman. I mean, yeah, it's his second year. It's the first time in I don't know how many years that we have a second-year offensive coordinator, but I don't like a lot of his play calls. I think he doesn't manage the clock very well. But here's the other crazy thing. The running game looked terrible, but then the last couple minutes of the game, they kind of did what they were supposed to do. And they showed up and everything worked out. I again, uneven. If even a 3-0 team, that's the biggest and baddest word I can use for this team. Right. Uneven.
Well, and we said at the beginning of the show, uneven they are, but it just look at this for a minute. I actually had the box score up here. All right. The top has the Ravens at 3-0, Jaguars on 0-3. So mirror polar opposite images, you know, 3-0 versus 0-3. But listen how even the teams were. Ravens won the possession 31 minutes, 6 seconds to Jacksonville's 20-54. Flacco had 40 pass attempts to Blake's 38. Flacco completed 29, Bortles 24. T.J. Yeldon for them had 6 rushing attempts. Terrence West had 10. Allen Robinson had 7 receptions with 2 touchdowns. Steve Smith had 8 receptions. These teams on the stat sheet were near identical, but we were 2 points better on the scoreboard, which is the best stat on the score sheet because we were there. But what the difference was the touchdown and going at 10-0 in the beginning. But with the team being up 10-0 is they did start out fast. That's one thing I'll give this team that we covered on the you know Purple Friday preview and, of course, on the quick Sunday hits on the game is they got to start out fast, and they did. They got out quick. They 10-0 lead, and that's what pretty much built the basis for this win, man.
Yeah, this was the exact opposite of the Cleveland game. They started out very slow, didn't do anything in the first quarter of the Cleveland game. Yep. Now, up against Jacksonville, they did fix that problem.
And total play, and they fixed that too. And also total plays, Baltimore at 64 plays, Jacksonville at 63 plays. So just to look at, and Weeds had 3 turnovers apiece. So very identical, even in the penalties, yards and penalty. I mean, if you look at the stat sheet, you would think the game ended in a tie. That's how crazy it was. But overall, it's a great day. I mean, you had every team in the division losing. We win. You have the it's tiered. It's you have the Browns at 0-3, the Bengals at 1-2, Steelers at 2-1, and the Ravens are 3-0. So we're building the momentum. We're building the lead here in taking over the North. And it's feeling pretty good around here, man. I mean, we talked in Baltimore. What a weekend. Steelers get drubbed. The whole division loses. The Orioles sweep, get a game and a half up with 1 week to play in baseball. Hopefully they can make the playoffs, man. It's been nuts around here. The Ravens are 3-0. Baltimore's jumping right now, man. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, absolutely. There's plenty going on. And even though this is a 3-0 team, everyone's very happy about that. And the people that are complaining out there saying, oh, you guys only beat crap teams, da 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 da. You want to beat crap teams. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do against them.
You want to win, period. I don't care if it's crap or not. 3-0 is 3-0. And you can't dispute that.
Yeah, and if you got 3-0 now going down the season, you know, you build mm-hmm. that base so, like, you don't – the games at the end aren't, like, a must-win to get into, like, the wild card spot. Secure it up now. Get those wins now that you can. Get every win you can. Like, these people that are saying, like, oh, you know, you beat this team, you barely beat that team – they still won. They still are able to get wins out of these teams later on down the road. You know, they not take a breather, but the pressure won't be as bad on them. This isn't a bad thing.
So, and you're right, it's not a bad thing at all, but here's the thing on that argument. If people are going to break down our division, or not division, but our opponents, and go, oh, you beat crap teams. So does that mean when the Steelers won their championship, when the Patriots won their titles, should we go in their schedule and look at all the crap teams they play and go, oh, well, you beat crap teams? Well, the Patriots went undefeated, so I'm sure they beat crap teams in that, and they didn't even win the Super Bowl. They lost. So, you know, the Steelers, I'm sure we beat crap teams on our championship runs, and I'm sure the Giants did and the Steelers did. And I mean, you look at it. I mean, it happens. We've lost crap teams. We made the play. And speaking of Jacksonville, didn't we go 12-4 in a playoff year where we lost to Jacksonville Monday Night Football with Blaine Gabbert quarterbacking? Do we not remember that? We remember those things, but that happened. But it's hindsight 2020 because Jacksonville didn't make the playoffs. We made it, you know, very deep in the playoffs that year. So it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, wins and losses get you in the playoffs. Not winning by 50 and sure not losing by 50, but it's, hey, I got 11-5 record or a wild card spot or division lead, and I'm sick of it. And I what the team probably says, and it should be true. You know, you're 0-3. You're 0-3. That means you probably have some work to do. The Ravens are 3-0, have a lot of work to do still. But I rather win football games, learning as we go, instead of, oh, we're 1-2 or 3-0, and oh, this season's going to suck again. So, I mean, we could be Cleveland. I mean, seriously, we could have two quarterbacks and arm slings and all kinds of junk. But I will say this: speaking of Cleveland, that was a crazy way they had to lose. Think of Cleveland the last 2 weeks: up 20-0 on us, lose. And doing the way they did, missing that field goal and then losing in overtime, it's just, man, they can't catch a break. But I just want to bring that up for a reason, because we want to bring in the Steelers drubbing and all that. How bad is the Browns front office run to pass up number two pick to the Eagles, and Eagles draft Carson Wentz, and Carson Wentz through three games as a rookie has not thrown a single interception, and that team's on fire with their defense too, man. How weird is that? I mean,
how many decisions are they going to have to make poorly, you know, for in that town?
It's just you almost feel for them. It's like, but it shows you though. Everybody always jokes, you know, when it comes draft time and when the Ravens draft the player they don't like. I'm like, well, here's the thing: we could have Jalen Ramsey. Everybody wanted. They're 0-3 with Ramsey. We're 3-0 with Stanley. I mean, who, things happen for a reason, you know, or we could have had Tunsil and he had to break out his whole mass thing. And I mean, things happen for a reason. So don't knock us because we could be the Browns front office and not get things right and lose every year and wonder why, because it starts at the top. And we have a great ball coach, great staff. Couldn't be more proud as team 3-0, but and the Steelers drubbing was just icing on the cake, man. You know, coming home after a crazy win to decompress and then watch the second half and the Steelers get taken off TV coverage locally here because the other game was close, which was a great one. The Colts came back and won that game, so I'm glad they put that on as it was entertaining. But the Steelers lost 34-3, so and it was great to see all the national media. I don't have to say. It's called, they got beat. Move on. You know, they suck. They mailed it in. They couldn't do anything, and the Eagles beat them. But here's the thing, coming in, you know, not looking way ahead to our Steeler Heat Week in November, but the Eagles gave us the blueprint on how to beat the Steelers. It's tenacious defense, and we have one. So, and the AFC North full of it. But I'm going to enjoy this, man. 3-0. It feels great this week. We got two home games coming up before two in New York. Can't wait to get out there, man. But, man, that was sure some fun. But it was definitely fun down in North Florida. 3-0 sounds sweet.
Yeah, absolutely. So you brought up Ronnie Stanley. I do want to bring him up a little bit. He's another guy. I know he's a rookie. He's another guy who's got a little uneven performance. He got called a couple times for some false starts. But at the same time, he did a great job when Joe had to go running. He made that hole for Joe to get through and held on to the guy. And you know, he did his job there and was able to get that touchdown or help Joe get that touchdown. So,
well, you said that too during the game. You said on the replay, said, watch this, you know, Stanley opened that hole for him to move.
He did. So, I mean, Ronnie's doing his job very well. He's still got some of that that rookie rust to kind of work off, but still very happy with that draft pickup. He's doing a great job. One guy I do want to talk about before we let this thing go to rest, we got to talk about our punt return guy, Devin Hester. He's a veteran guy. We brought him in at the Ravens brought him in after the preseason because Michael Capanera was hurt yet again, and Keenan Reynolds wasn't working out the way they had hoped. They knew he was an older guy. He probably didn't have the wheels he once did, but they were hoping that he'd be able to call a fair catch and catch the ball. I know people make mistakes and everything, but that mistake he made in this game, fumbling the ball, dropping it after calling a fair catch, these are the things we brought him in not to do. That's the specific reason why we brought him in, to catch the ball. What do we do at this point? I mean, is it just one play, you know, it happens, move on? Or is this something that we should kind of be concerned about with this guy?
I think it's one play, moved on. I don't think it's concerned on me because they're not perfect. They're human. They're going to make mistakes. It's definitely something uncharacteristic of his nature, given his background and professionalism in that position and what he brings. But Devin Hester is not the Devin Hester that was back on the Bears making people miss and being dynamic. But he's basically back there for a hands purpose, because you looked at a lot of fair catches. Our special team is great with, you know, field goal blocking in that, but we're not good at coverages, and there doesn't give Hester anybody back there a lot of room to, you know, maneuver to pretty much make an attempt for a return, less kickoff. Got to catch the ball there. I really it really could have cost us the game. I felt bad for him standing on the sidelines. I was like, watch, they're going to freaking kick a field goal, win the game, and it's going to be, we're all talking about Hester's drop issues, and oh, we signed this guy, now we look like we have egg on our face. I mean, luckily we as a team bailed him out, so we didn't have to talk about that as much as a glaring thing it could have been, as a bad a situation it could have been. He got to catch the ball. And looking at the replays, he took his eyes off of it. You know, he fair caught it. He saw everybody in front of him. He looked down. But if you're fair catching it, my thing is, never done it in the NFL. Obviously, we all haven't. We haven't stood there with guys bearing down on us. But if you're going to fair catch, concentrate on the ball and catch it. The player is not going to hit you. If it is, it's a penalty. I mean, they see you waving your hand. So I don't know why players get antsy and look down, because it's not like you're attempting to return it. You already gave yourself up with a fair catch. Just catch the ball. It's easy. It's up in the air. Let it drop right to you. Catch it. Move on to the next play and let the offense come out. I just don't understand why you have to take your eye off of it, but I think it's coachable. I mean, look at the film. It's something to move on. Hester's not going anywhere. He's still going to be here through the remainder of the year.
Is there anybody that they're going to bring in, maybe, or somebody that they're going to retrofit to be a punt returner? Maybe not go with Hester as much? Could we see, like, Lardarius Webb step in that role?
I mean, that's been talked about. It could happen if things get really out of hand, or if we see another big issue, or if a bigger issue causes us a win, or if this did cost us a win, I can maybe predict a move or so, or maybe benching him and putting someone else in there to try it out. A lot of people have talked, you know, putting a couple receivers in there. Maybe I've mentioned Chris Moore. Rookie receiver, not really making much noise other than a couple catches here or there. Why don't you put him back there? You know, let him do it. I think Chris Moore should be more capable of handling that duties. I think Chris Moore should be the candidate to get it next in line, or at least maybe give him a shot. It may be in a blowout. Maybe we get a blowout win here and get the comfortable leads that we like sometimes, and maybe get to experiment with it.
Yeah, that may be. So, but again, but I thought that would be our last question. Another one's come up. I forgot about this. Sorry, but we got to bring this up. So a Ravens fan from Sweden actually tweeted to us earlier this week. It was Richard Olson. Hope I'm saying your first name right, Richard. He said, Kamalea Correa. He looked really good in the preseason. He was a guy you even had your eye on. 3 weeks now, pretty quiet. What's going on with him? Is he just not getting the snaps he should? Is he not on the field, or is he not living up to his hype?
I think it's that. He's getting lost in a shuffle, and things needs a learning process. You know, Phil is a rookie. You know, you got to give him the benefit of the doubt. But the fact remains is he's out there with the starting defense making plays. I'm very confident with that. You know, they're not really going to send him out if something were to just, you know, blow up or fall to the wayside. So, I mean, he's got to get his reps. He's got to get his feet wet and learn the defense, learn the calls. He's in there making plays. I've seen him in there making tackles. He's been involved in some plays. I've seen his number, but he's not really making a noise in pass rushing like we wanted to. He was being a beast in practice and preseason, but again, those are building blocks. Those are way different than, you know, live game action down in Jacksonville on the road in the NFL. It's quite different. So, you know, I've always said I'm very disappointed. Jury's still out. It's 3 games into his young NFL career. Let's see a whole body of work in the first year. See what it looks like. But for him making the roster, it speaks volumes.
Absolutely. All right. So I think that's pretty much it for the show. But just to check, Josh, have we covered everything for this Red Eye
Brandon,
review?
Brandon, we covered this heart attack edition from the north, south, east, and to the Terrence West.
That's right. So, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. Our buddy from Sweden, Ravens Nation Worldwide, he continued the conversation on Twitter. You can do the exact same thing. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, very cool. Guys, go over to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Go over to Facebook, Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. Also, that is where you can find our game day previews, which Josh said there would be a loss this past Sunday on there.
I almost called the score. They proved me wrong the other way around, but I almost got the score. Give me that. It was 1 point off.
That's right. But hey, I mean, who saw that coming from Josh not picking the Ravens? So go over to like our Facebook page. Make sure you you get in the know whenever a new game day preview comes out on game day. You will be there on Facebook knowing what's up. All right, guys, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return for this free show of yours is to please spread the word about the show. You know, be social with this show. Let people know. Let your friends know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat. Anywhere you are social on the web with your phone on Pokemon Go. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call and you should too. Little question. Is Tumblr still a thing? I don't know.
Tumblr, I really don't know, to be honest with you. Actually, I would love to find that out.
I used to be on Tumblr all the time, but I haven't been on there in years.
Speaking of Tumblr, guess what? I just got on text. Oh, my goodness. I'm on my iPad. Check this out.
What do we have?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. Look what it says right down there.
Tumblr.
Yeah. Got the Carlton dance. Yeah, because I texted my buddy Pigskin, and I get the Carlton dance. Epic. Yeah, we're all doing Carlton dances after the game, I'm sure, because that was just a breath of fresh air. But this new Apple update is pretty fun. I got a Carlton dance emoji. It's just great.
Oh, man, that's funny. All right, guys. So that's pretty much it for this Red Eye review this week of Ravens, Jaguars, Heart Attack City. We will be back this Friday for the Purple Friday preview as we talk Ravens, Oakland Raiders. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thanks so much as always, man. It's been great. Enjoying the game with you Sunday and your family was great. The rooting is hard. All the ups and downs, grabbing on your jersey and shoulder, saying, I can't. That was probably one of my favorite moves. I was like, I was buried. I was like, I can't do this. And but, dude, 3-0, we did it. Rooting hard. All of our frustrations are, you can take a breath of fresh air because they're relieved. Because the Ravens did it. We're 3-0. I'm definitely going to enjoy this one this week. Guys, it's been fun, man. 3-0. Season is young. But I hate to say this, guys, but it's going by way too fast. We're already through September. We're going to be covering in October this weekend, and it's just, wow. We're already in week 3 of the NFL, and we have 17 weeks. It goes by so quick, man, and the season, all season is so long. It sucks, but don't want to dwell on any negatives there, but I just really can't believe it's the end of September. Can't wait to get after it for the Raiders game this Sunday at home. We come home for two. Enjoy the week, and I definitely want to share a little bit tidbit. What I'll be doing to get ready is, Brandon, I know, with the luxury of us having, the technology, dude, check what I'll be watching this past week. Do you see that?
Ooh, look at that. That is the very first game. The Ravens versus the Raiders way, way back in 96 at Memorial Stadium.
Yes, sir. I got it from yours truly, man. I wanted to say thank you for that. I actually was going to save it. I haven't watched it. I want to save it specifically for this week. And I'll be watching it. Get this, because my vacation starts Friday for like 14 days. I'll be off.
Wow.
I'm actually on Friday. I'm going to watch the Ravens' very first game. I don't know if I'll get through all the games because I wanted to watch like the playoff runs and all that. But watching all that football, I don't know if I'll get to it one day. But here's what I'm going to do to celebrate the Raiders' week. I'm going to watch the very first game against the Raiders, which we did win, obviously. Then I'm also going to watch the Raiders-Ravens championship game in 2000 to send us to the first Super Bowl. I have that on DVD as well. So I'm going to celebrate Purple Friday as I should. I'm going to be watching some good football and enjoying it. And I really can't wait to get after it. But with that being said, guys, rest up this week. Breathe. It's okay. We're 3-0. No blemishes on that loss column. Let's just keep it squeaky clean as long as we can. It's the NFL. Losses come. Wins are harder to come by. Let's just enjoy, guys. Baltimore Ravens, fly high this week.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.